We're parents, teachers, and educators. And like you, we're passionate about restoring our culture for Christ. This is Veritas Vox, the voice of classical Christian education.
Hello again. Welcome to another episode of Veritas Vox. As you can see, I have Laurie, my wife, with me today. And we have Rebecca. Devitt.
Devitt.
With us from near Sydney, Australia. Welcome.
That's right. What's
really exciting to us is you're in tomorrow. And so we're learning about the future from you. Thanks for being here. Rebecca, before we get into talking about your work and encouraging homeschooling, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, your personal circumstances?
Yeah, so I'm a Christian, first and foremost. I very much love Jesus, and I love to promote the gospel. So that's probably the first way I'd like to describe myself. Secondly, I'm a wife and a mom in Australia. And so my husband, he usually goes off to work and I stay home with the kids and homeschool them. I've got a almost 7-year-old and a 3-year-old. So I haven't been formally, we started early at like age 4 because I was so super excited about homeschooling. I'm also a second generation homeschool graduate. So I was homeschooled myself and I went to a Christian school for the first 3 years of my life. In Australia, there's far more private Christian schools. My understanding is in America, public schools are much more common, but in Australia, your private schools are more common. So I went there and I just found myself really walking away from God. Mm-hmm. And then my parents decided to homeschool me primarily because they're like, We don't care if she's a dropkick. We just need her to know about Jesus. And that's funny coming from a Christian school. And it felt like stepping from a dark tunnel into a really light place. And so I feel so blessed that they homeschooled me and thankful.
Wonderful. Where'd you go to school?
I went to a school in the Southern Highlands, got a really good reputation. I've got some beautiful friends who came out of there, but yeah, it just wasn't for me.
Okay. Great. Yeah.
Now you've gotten real involved in, you homeschool your children, but what many people know about you is how much you've posted about various things related to homeschooling. Tell us how that started and tell us what you really try to accomplish with what you do. And do feel free to give websites. We're happy for people to be able to.
Yes. Yeah, sure. So it originally started with, I have a friend who wanted to homeschool her children and she wasn't sure about it. She married a homeschooler. And so I wrote this really long document, 16-page document, and all the reasons she should homeschool. I was a terrible writer back in those days. This is like 15 years ago. It was absolutely awful. But it was just me super passionate. I've always been super passionate about homeschooling. And then anyway, that 16-page document turned into a book called Why on Earth Homeschool? The Case for Christian Homeschooling. It's an okay book. I wouldn't run out and buy it, but it's it was all the reasons I was like, I think people need to know. And so it's got something like 300 references. And if you like that sort of detailed stuff, then it can be cool. But I think a lot of people were like, yeah, it's just a bit dry and academic. And anyway, I kind of went into going, well, how do I promote the book? And they're like, do a website. And so I started another website, which I shut down. But I then turned it into How Do I Homeschool, which is my big website now. And then I was looking at how I make my web pages popular and they're like, do videos. And so I started my YouTube channel, which is where I get a lot of people interacting with me, which is just beautiful because the website can be quite dry and there's not a lot of interaction. And I love being able to personally encourage parents and they ask me questions and I love being able to just slow down and write them answers and bless them and chat to them.
That's great. That's good.
Why don't you talk to her about homeschooling in Australia?
Oh, yeah. Tell us, like, we always get this question because of our diploma program and people want to know what's different in each country. Tell us a little bit about, I mean, I know you're familiar with things in the United States. How is homeschooling different in Australia?
Probably the biggest thing is there's far fewer homeschoolers in Australia. I think there's possibly less than 0.5% here, whereas what is it in America?
Well, it was 3-4% before COVID. Yeah. My understanding is it grew to about 11% during COVID.
Okay.
And then came back, and I think it settled around 8%.
And now we're seeing more, I don't know if you have this, but we're seeing more hybrid things. Hybrid schools that are really
university model,
2 days a week. So there's some hybrid things that are happening in the States. But tell us about Australia.
Yeah, so Australia is... I was really interested because I visited South Carolina in last February, and people in America are really passionate. Now that can be good and bad, but because I'm a really passionate person myself, so I really loved it. But my husband, he would probably find a lot of that confronting. And so in Australia, we're very much a go with the flow. And of course, the quintessential statement, she'll be right, mate. So you hear that one all the time. And she'll be right, mate is great if it's something that doesn't matter. But if it's something like the gospel, if it's something about bringing our children up to truly know and worship Jesus as being a fulfillment of who they were meant to be as individuals, then no, it will not be right. And unfortunately, I think that's why a lot of Australians don't really value homeschooling as much. So we've got that kind of a lot of really solid Christians say, I don't have enough patience to homeschool, or all these kind of cop-out statements, and they don't realize it's bigger than like we're talking about something that's, I mean, if you believe in heaven and hell and all those sorts of things.
It's not just really academics.
No, we're shaming the next generation.
That's right.
Yeah, exactly. So there's a lot at stake here. There's a lot of ambivalence is I think what we're trying to say here. Okay. There's not as much support from anyone here. Like I tried to Google homeschool conventions here. They don't really exist. There's an online one, but I haven't really heard of people going to that. There's little ones here and there, but they're not big like in America. There are homeschooling groups. There's homeschool co-ops. There's not many here. There's one in my area because there's a lot of homeschoolers here, but that's not run by Christians. So it's a very kind of non-Christian group. So we don't go to that one.
Would you say that a sizable percentage of Australian homeschooling is non-Christian?
Yes, and that's the other probably difference is in America, I think you've got the majority of Christians homeschooling because of the gospel.
My sense is that today 80% of the homeschooling population is Protestant Christian.
Right.
Yes, okay. Whereas here what you're going to find is at least 50 and non-Christian, and there's a lot of people who just want to kind of get away from. They can see the government aren't doing right things in the schools, and there's a lot of like that kind of weird sex ed sort of stuff is happening in here as well. And I think they know enough about morality to go, that's weird, we want our kids away from that. And so they might homeschool. But then we've just got a lot of people who, I was interested to find a lot of witches, people like that, people really nature-based who kind of want to get away from the system.
Right.
They want to be off the grid, so to speak.
Yeah. And so it's really interesting, the makeup here. I remember there was a parliamentary inquiry into homeschooling and they did the breakout, and I think it was about maybe half were Christians and homeschooling. So that is very different, and that is reflected in the support you get, the groups around here, the co-ops.
I'm assuming that you're accessing mainly curriculum and things that's being done in the United States.
That's right. Yeah. All of my curriculum is from the United States. And I choose stuff that's really gospel centered.
And was that the way it was for you growing up?
Yeah, we used a Becker Rodenstaff. I can't remember any other ones. But yeah, they were kind of the big ones that we
used. That was what was big in that time period for sure. How did you get introduced to classical Christian education?
Yeah, good question. So I did, when I was blogging, I was like, okay, what foundational articles should I put on my website? And I was like, oh, I should research the homeschool methods. And so I started researching them and I'm like, oh, I love the idea of classical Christian education. So when I researched it, that was when I found out about it. And then I read Dorothy Sayers' Lost Tools of Learning, which is the foundational, probably plug on, Christian classical education. And I really loved the way that she said, you know, we're bringing up a generation of children who can read, and when we're leaving them at the mercy of newspapers, media people, and we need to teach them to think, we need to teach them to graciously argue so they don't scare away all their opponents and get their point across. And I just thought that was great, and it wasn't a concept I came across. And when I was at university, I learned to debate, and I love debating, and I thought, oh, this is great for teaching a child to really actively learn the pros and cons of both. And I think I love that about debating. Yeah, sorry, that probably answers your question.
And I'm curious, how did you find Veritas Press?
Yeah, I like it. So Lukey's been studying, particularly lately, Phonics Museum.
Okay.
And yeah, so before that we were doing Reading Eggs, which is...
I'm sorry we can't provide an Aussie accent for you, for your children to emulate. I'd hate for them to come up sounding like Americans.
There's been a few times. I think they say, what do they say? Ah, and I say, we say A. And in the Phonics Museum, they're like, don't say it like this, say it like this. And I'm like, no, do say it like that, because Australia's...
Exactly. That's great. I love it.
Good. Yeah, fantastic. So before that we were doing Reading Eggs, but one of my other friends, Abby, she's from Family Style Learning. So if you want a solid YouTube channel, she does a great job as well. But she did a bit of an expose on Reading Eggs and how it had all these let's just say interesting books.
Yes, that's a nice way to put it.
Yeah. I'm trying to be sensible about the algorithm and not saying things that are funky these days. But so she did an expose on that, and I'm like, oh, I can't use this anymore. And so I tried Reading Eggs, and I loved that there was history, and there's just so many things incorporated, whereas Reading Eggs was just kind of animated, learn to read sort of stuff. And so I do like that about, I think, Veritas Press.
We do try to, I think we try to integrate, obviously, a biblical worldview in absolutely everything we do, but then history, and, it's so important for children just to grow up knowing, particularly that history and the Bible, they're not two separate things. You know, if you go ask people on the street, when Jesus was walking the streets, people think that the Bible happened and then somehow the rest of the world went on, and they don't see them as entwined. And so
tell us about what you do now. You've got a YouTube channel. You have prolific in your video work. How many videos do you produce a week? And what do you choose to do? What causes you to say, I need to do a video on that?
So I am prolific. I think my brain has always worked. I studied medical school, and then I stopped. I got really sick. I'm so thankful I didn't continue, but I got really sick and I had to just sit in a bed, which is where the book writing started. Because I was like, I can only I can only write, but my brain's really active. And so regarding the videos, I just now when I have ideas, I just shoot a little short of them. I've been doing loads of shorts lately. So I shoot a short of them. But also I kind of look up phrases that people are searching for and I'm like, okay, let's try and answer that one intelligently. And so my channels, it's called the How to Homeschool channel, so it's very easy to remember. It's mostly about homeschool curriculum, but also just starting homeschooling, easy tips, because I was homeschooled and I saw my mum and dad did things in a really good way and then some things didn't work. And then I'm homeschooling my own child now, so I'm getting a really good understanding of homeschooling from both sides.
What do you find to be the most commonly asked questions or concerns that are expressed as people start the homeschooling journey? Take us at the baseline when people are starting, and what you really find that you deal with mostly.
I think because my channel is about homeschooling, people ask me about, particularly because of my video that you were talking about earlier off air, about the good and the beautiful, where I basically say it's presented as a Christian perspective, but it's not. And so I had a lady this morning saying, you know, is this program solid? Is it gospel-centered? And a lot of them are a little bit concerned, I think, because I've raised that, you know, we should be getting curriculum that is gospel-centered. And a lot of people say, they say, well, we can just get a secular curriculum and supplement with Bible studies. But I'm like, why would you take those beautiful opportunities out of a curriculum to teach the gospel in science, in math, in history, right, in art, when you can just be like, because we're stupid as people, we're stiff-necked. We need to be reminded of it. Certainly I need to be reminded of it all the time.
Yeah, I was, you know, when our kids were born, we thought education was a morally neutral exercise.
Mm.
And something happened. This is a well-worn story on our on our website and otherwise. And something happened at the school that we had our kids at to make me realize I needed to do some research and reading, and I did. And that's when I ran into Recovering the Lost Tools of Learning, and it was at that moment that I realized that education is not a morally neutral activity.
What is Chris Schlepp said?
Well, Chris Schlecht, who is a college professor at New St. Andrews College, says that the thing he learned most from his public school education was that the world works fine without God.
And that is so much so that when I look at what you're talking about, like using secular curriculum, it's just teaching children that they don't need to have the Lord in everything when we can't exist. Nothing we do doesn't have his hand upon it. So why do we want them thinking that way?
Mm-hmm.
You can pretty easily say, you know, I can see that it matters in science. You know, creation involves God. But then we have to ask the question, not just, is there a God? But what is he like?
Yeah.
How does he providentially superintend what he created?
Right.
That impacts science. But then when we talk about math, we think, well, math is just learning numbers. No, it's not. Because math is
everything
possible because God is immutable.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't change.
No.
So we can trust mathematics because God doesn't change.
Absolutely. I think another point is I very much view, which is very different to a lot of people, but I view myself as teaching my child and bringing them up so they can be a servant of God and can powerfully impact the world around them for the good. And so in the mornings, I pray every day that my son Luke will have an impact, that he will be able to tell the gospel to billions of people. And that is my prayer for him. And I see myself raising a little boy now to become a great man who can be a servant and worker of God. And that's, if you look in the Bible, that's what we should be doing.
Yes.
And we lose focus.
Yeah.
And we just, a lot of the time we just think, let's just bring them up to be morally decent, sort of, you know, average sort of people. But I'm like, why not shoot for the stars, so to speak? You know, God has said pray. You do not have because you do not ask. Why don't we start praying for children like this and pray every day? And get down on me.
It was really clear in the videos that I watched of yours, and there were many that I could have watched. I didn't watch all of them. But you are very gifted in researching and discerning and communicating that discernment. And I want our audience to know that, but I also, because I think they'll benefit from watching your videos.
Yeah.
But I also want you to tell us why you think that is. Where does that research come from? And what is it I want to get back to the question of what is it you really try to do for the homeschool families?
Yeah, to be honest, I think I try to steer them away from secular curriculum towards Christian curriculum.
It's a good thing. That's a good thing.
Yeah, I think that's my main nugget, because I want them to train beautiful children, servants for the Lord, and I want it to have a massive impact. And so what I do is I have researched hundreds of curriculum. And a lot of the time a mother will post, you know, what do you think of this curriculum? And I'll say yes or no, or and this is why and this is why not. I think I had a mum yesterday saying, she said, oh, isn't the Gather Round Homeschool written by a Mormon? And I'm like, no, that's written by the woman who was the first one to denounce kind of the good and the beautiful for not being Christian, not being gospel-centered. So it's good to kind of clarify these thought bubbles in people's minds.
Absolutely. But I thought you did a really good job when you went through the classical curriculum providers, so to speak. I told Marlon, I said, the thing that got me, because obviously I'm real familiar with everybody's curriculum, right? A lot of it we incorporate into our curriculum. And so I know what's different about it and from what we write. And you really had a handle on different curriculum and how I think about them. And so it was like, it resonates with me. Because one of the reasons that Veritas has, you know, different ways of teaching is because I believe God has made children all very different, right? And what works for one does not necessarily mean that it's going to work for another child. So I was on the phone the other day with a mom, and, you know, she was really struggling because she'd had two children going to Saxon, and her family consultant was advising her to put the third child into Matthew C. And it was hard for her. But as I found out more, it got sent to me because it was a learning disability situation. And so my background special ed. So as it got sent to me, and I just said, you know, this curriculum was written by someone who really, 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 really understood the need for children to do hands-on. And it's the perfect curriculum for this child.
Mm. You have a real gift in being able to fairly quickly review curriculum, because I've seen how much you've gone through.
Yep.
And I know how many hours there are in the day. To what do you attribute your research abilities and what you're able to communicate so articulately, as Laurie said?
I think honestly, it started, especially the last couple of years. I've started before I start work. I just sit and pray and ask God to make me really productive and understand what I'm reading. So I attribute it completely to God. Just being able to even put the thought bubbles into my head to say things succinctly in a way that will be helpful for people.
Do you think any of it has to do with your being homeschooled? I just find that as I'm working with second generation homeschoolers, one of the things that I'm finding is they all, people that we have on our staff and that kind of thing, they all research better because they had, you know, they learned to ask questions and not just have things spit it, you know, when I'm saying thrown into them, memorize this, go do this. They're inquisitive. They know how to ask questions about the world around them. And I'm just seeing that in second gen, you know, as they're coming up now, they were homeschooled, they're homeschooling their own children. I just see an ability that's different from people that have come up out of a traditional school environment.
And I think what you're putting your hand on, putting your finger on, is that homeschoolers are lifelong learners.
Yep.
A lot of the time they haven't been burnt out by the time they get to high school, and they don't just go, okay, we finish now, let's, you know, not learn a thing. Yeah, there's homeschoolers are so good at interest-based learning, and so I think that they will always continue to do that, because I know a few homeschoolers as well, and they've just gone on to do amazing things. And you think to yourself, I don't think these children would be any smarter than the normal population. It's just that, unfortunately, I think public school does a really good job of squashing our interest in things, and I think how many more amazing minds could we have created if we hadn't just smushed them in public school?
That's true. Now, I'm curious, was your husband homeschooled also?
My husband went to probably one of the most prestigious private schools in the whole area, cost a mini fortune. And I think he really enjoyed his education, private school education, but he wasn't a Christian growing up.
Okay.
That was the first time he heard the gospel, but he said, you know, we just didn't have much of a Christian input. So in terms of a wonderful secular education, even though it was an Anglican school, he's like, you know, like we went to chapel, but it was really boring, you know, you kicked your feet back. And but I think he's starting to very much see the value of homeschooling. And one day a fortnight he homeschools the kids. So I think he's starting to enjoy it.
That's great. Well, we joked at the beginning about the fact that you were talking to us from tomorrow. But let's talk about tomorrow. What does tomorrow look like in homeschooling from your vantage point? It seems like you have an incredible foundation. I'm guessing that's given you a sense of trajectory and what people can look forward to.
Oh, great question. I am, like I said, I'm training a little boy to do amazing things. And part of that will look like we're probably going to set up a succulent sale just outside our front gate, which is on a busy road. And he literally sets up a sign out there which says succulents, $5, $10. And he sits out there and waits for sales. And he does really well. So I am training a man of God, but I'm also training a little entrepreneur who can work for himself. And I hope one day will be a wonderful boss.
We did that with four of them.
Did you? Yeah.
And they all are.
It's about facilitating it, isn't it?
And absolutely.
Yeah. And I love, I've got on the shelf, he's got a give jar, a save jar, and a spend jar. So a third goes to give, a third goes to saving. He's saving up for an $8,000 ute. And I'm like, why not? Because he's only 6, 7 shortly. But I'm like, you should save up for that, and then spend is just money he can blow. And he's so beautiful, he'll buy things for his little sister who doesn't get money because she loses it. Yeah. So we try and encourage. I'm trying to bring up a little entrepreneur. But yeah, I just hope he'll really bless other people. They will.
Do you think that as you observe and as you get interaction, do you think that the homeschooling percentage of the population is likely to grow rapidly or about the pace that it has? How do you see things changing? Now, I'm asking the question really worldwide because she's dealing with a worldwide population.
Sure.
I think as Christianity is further thrown out of schools, which in Australia that is happening very much. I just got a letter from the Australian Christian Lobby yesterday saying that Christian schools will very soon probably not have the protections they need to be able to hire Christians, which means at that point a lot of people, and I've heard a lot of my friends who have their children in Christian schools say, if the teachers are not Christian, we're going to start homeschooling. And I think in terms of worldwide, I think if that starts happening, a lot more people will start taking the education of children.
We see it in China.
Yeah,
that's right. And that's so sad. And I think in Germany too, because I think we know that the way to train a future population is to get them when they're young. I think it was Plato who said, give me a child up to age 7 and I'll turn into whatever you want.
That was
and we at homeschool. Sorry, it was Plato. Good.
Yep.
And I think we as homeschool parents need to keep that in mind, and we need to get to our kids first. A lot of people are like, homeschooling is brainwashing. And I'm like, yeah, but so is school. That's the whole point. Who's going to get to them first?
That's great.
That's
well, cool. We've enjoyed having you. Rebecca DeWitt from near Sydney, thank you so much for joining us. And folks, thanks for being with us on this episode of Veritas Vox, the voice of classical Christian education. Bye-bye.